मोकम करोति वाचालं पंगुम लंघयते गिरीं यत्कृपातं वन्दे श्रीगुरुदीनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्येश्वरम्। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 2 टेक्स्ट 57। सो प्लीज रिपीट। एवं यूयं अपश्यन्त्य आत्मा पायम अबुद्धयः नैनं नैनं प्राप्स्यत सोचन्त्यः पतिं वर्ष शतेर अपि। आई डोंट नो इफ आई हैव टोल्ड हियर इन दिस क्लास, सो हाउ डू यू प्रोनाउंस द संस्कृत दिस The transliteration is basically, suppose there is a dot on a particular letter. So we have to stress on that. So we have avam here. So avam. So ma has got a dot on the top. So we stress on that. Then, and if there is a line also, we stress on that. So it is yuyam. So why you? And you is having that line. And when s has got a dot or a line, like we have it here, so it becomes sh. So it's apashyantya, apashyantya. So similarly, when it comes to A and there is a line on that, so it becomes atmapayam, right? So when there is a line on A, it's A, and when there is no line, it's A. That's how it is pronounced. So like that, we'll be doing. I should have told this before. I forgot. Okay, I hope it's clear. So whenever there's a dot or a line, we stress on that particular letter. And then on S, especially if we have a dot or a, I don't know what you call this as, a slant line. So that for that you say sure, or it is so. Translation. Thus Yamraj in the guise of a small boy told all the queens, you are all so foolish that you lament but do not see your own death. Afflicted by a poor fund of knowledge, you do not know that even if you lament for your dead husband for hundreds of years, you will never get him back alive, and in the meantime, your lives will be finished. Purport. Yamraj once asked Maharaj Yudhishthir, what is the most wonderful thing within this world? Maharaj Yudhishthir replied, this comes in Mahabharata. So, okay, nice. Hundreds and thousands of living entities meet death at every moment, but a foolish living being nonetheless thinks himself deathless and does not prepare for death. This is the most wonderful thing in this world. Everyone has to die because everyone is fully under the control of material nature, yet everyone thinks that he is independent. That whatever he likes he can do, that he will never meet death but live forever, and so on. So-called scientists are making various plans by which living entities in future can live forever, but while they are thus perceiving such scientific knowledge, Yamraj, in due course of time, will take them away from their business of so-called research. Prabhupada just wants a chance. He'll just slap the scientists like anything. Yes. So here, this is something which is my meditation also. This is something which gives me a lot of strength to practice devotional service. So you see this point, and I have made this multiple times before as well. But this is really wonderful. This is what Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying. It's really wonderful to see that there are many, many people who are dying around, but no one is interested to find out what is the reason and how can we stop that. But everyone is convinced, that the person died, this person died, that person died, but I'm not going to die. People are convinced, completely convinced. In fact, when we discuss with old people, like for example, one thing which I came across, so my spiritual master was telling this. So in his village, so there was one old lady. So she would be saying, so my spiritual master visited her house. And then she kept always, she'll keep saying that, Shayad Bhagwan bhool gaye hai, mujhe le jaane ke liye. Ye mrutyu kyun nahi aati? Maybe Lord has forgotten to give me death. This was the essence, whatever she was saying again and again. So once, my Guru Maharaj met her again. So at that time when she said this dialogue, then, he said, see, there's a live wire hanging there. Go and hold that. Automatically you'll die. So at that time, that lady, she became furious and she said, aise kaise mar jaau main? How can I die like this? Can you imagine, you know, what people, how people are? Yes, there was another person who was planning to commit suicide. And now the plan of suicide was to come under the train. When the train is moving fast, so he'll be sleeping on the track and the train will go, you know, above him and make his chutney, and that's how, you know, he'll die. So this was his plan. Then he told everyone, I've seen this, you know, people are not serious about committing suicide. They'll tell everyone around, I'm committing suicide. So this husband, you know, he went to his wife and, you know, kids and everyone, and he said, I'm committing suicide. Enough is enough. I cannot bear this. And then, you know, they all tried convincing, oh, please don't do this. You know, how can we live without you? And so on and so forth. But the husband like, no, it's enough is enough. You people are not understanding me at all. No, so I will commit suicide today. I'll just put myself in front of a train and I'll die. So now, after convincing so much, you know, no one was listening. I mean, this person was not listening. So all of them kept quiet. Yeah, okay, do whatever you want. Maybe people understood his natak. And then he said, "Theek hai, main ja raha hu, mera tiffin bhar do." I'm going to die, so keep my tiffin ready. I want to take my tiffin. So the wife said, "Are you going to die? So why you want tiffin box?" He said, "From morning I've not eaten anything." Said, "Anyways, you're planning to die, so why do you need a tiffin box? Why do you need to eat?" He said, "Are wa? Tu kya bhooke mar jaun? So what are you saying? Should I die out of hunger?" This is how people are nowadays. See, no one is interested to die. And all of us, the only bhaya that we have. So you see this shloka which we talked from Mahabharata, another shloka which says, "Ahara nidra bhayamaitunam cha samanya etat pashubhi naranam dharmo hitesho adhiko vishesho dharme nahina pashubhi samana." So these are the four activities. That is, janma, mrityu, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Ahara, nidra, bhaya, and maithun. So these are the four activities which animals also do, and humans are also doing. And when some human being exclusively does only these four activities in life, not aspiring to attain Krishna, such a person is called as dvipad pashu. A person, an animal with two legs. This is what is a description given. Now you see that bhaya. Ahara, we understood food, nidra is sleep, ahara, nidra, bhaya, and maithun is sex life. So bhaya here actually is fear. What is the fear all about? Fear about death. Yes, fear about death. And everyone we fear is death. In fact, shastras also say that even if death is going to come, you have to make sure that you try your best to overcome death. Shastras say that. Yes. And naturally, even we don't read Shastra, people don't read Shastra. I don't think we have come across this shloka. Even I didn't come across this shloka. I heard in a class. So even if we don't read, still we are doing it. We are already doing it. So we fight like anything. We try our best to make sure that, you know, we don't die. This is the biggest fear which people have in life. Because people don't want to die. Don't want to die. And they see that people are collapsing all around. Be it a small child. Why talk about small child? Infant in the womb. And then the baby. And then the school going kid. And then the college going kid. College going, I shouldn't say kid, you know, people might get offended. And then a person who is working, the person who is married, the person who is old. Everyone in all, tell me which category is missing. Tell me. If you have any category, suppose. Tell me which category of people. Or which stage? Now, when a person is there in some stage and he has not died, tell me. There is no stage in which, now we see that there is no case study where the person has not died. There will be surely at least few case studies or few instances where the person has died in each and every stage of life. At least there will be few people who have died in some stage, right? So in this way we see, but still the illusory energy of the Lord is so strong. So strong. In fact, it's almost like she closes her eyes. Arey mat dekh ye sab. Kya fayda ye sab dekh ke? Tu to jeene wala hai na. Why are you seeing, you know, people dying? Don't worry, you're not going to die. And then we are like, yes, you're correct. I'm not going to die. And then if you ask how many years are going to live, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. We have a number to give also. We give a number. Yes. And we have been speaking about this even in our previous sessions. what is our life all about? What is the span of our life? Basically, what is the lifespan that we have? Same lifespan what a bubble on the water surface has. A water bubble on the water surface. Same lifespan we also have. Similar lifespan. The bubble does not know when it will burst, and we also does not know when we'll burst. Simple. But still, you know, so Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying, hundreds and thousands of living entities meet death every moment. It's not about, you know, there is some time when people don't die. Suppose, say, this particular hour people don't die, so I can relax. There's nothing like that. Every moment people die. Every moment. But a foolish living being, he's talking about all of us, nonetheless, thinks himself deathless and does not prepare for death. So what happens when a person feels that he's deathless? I'm deathless, I'm eternal. Why should I really bother about anything after death? I'm eternal. Why should I really worry? So such a person will never prepare for the final exam. Never. Never he'll prepare for the final exam. Right? So he'll just enjoy. Drink, eat, marry, just go on. This is the slogan that will be there. So the point that we have to understand is the person who understands, this is a question that is put forward for all of you all. Answer by yourself. No need to answer publicly. Answer to yourself. If I'm convinced that I'm going to die anytime, automatically the person becomes fired up in bhakti. Simple. Simple. Now ask a question to yourself. Am I fired up in bhakti? At least for me, I would say no. So that's an implicit connection, or that's an implicit indication that I'm not convinced that I'm going to die anytime. Simple. This is the logic. I'll repeat again. If I'm convinced that I'm going to die at any time, I'll become fired up in bhakti. So ask a question. Am I fired up in bhakti? If the answer is no, then it goes on to say that I'm not convinced that I'll die anytime. And that's the case with everyone in this world. But anyone who is convinced that I'll die anytime, that person becomes extremely fired up. You see Parikshit Maharaj, 7 days, 7 nights, not eating, not drinking, just hearing Bhagavatam. But this is a question which I ask myself, most of the time. Then are you really convinced that you're going to die anytime? It doesn't look like from your behavior. I tell myself most of the time. It doesn't look like from your behavior. Because if a person is convinced that he's going to die anytime, he'll become so fired up. He'll always keep thinking, let me see, devotees don't fear death. That is there because we have Krishna with us. But at the same time, the fear that the devotee has is, if I die, I lose this body, and this body is so favorable to practice bhakti. I lose this favorable body. So am I really giving my best while practicing bhakti or not? This is the question a devotee gets. So this is a very good contemplation. I would request all of you all that please contemplate on this. No need to fear. But to become fired up is very, very important. Yes. Now, sir, I keep telling my mother this. Since he's not there, I can speak here. And since it's a close group, so she has turned 50. And so I speak to her often. Then whenever I call her, then I'll ask her, are you practicing bhakti nicely? And then she would say, this came up, that came up, so I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that. Then I would always keep telling her, Baba, you have crossed 50, you can die anytime. And she would keep chastising over phone. Hey, what sort of son you are? Every time you remind me about this. Then I tell her, I remind you every time because every time you forget. So it has to be reminded. Yes. So in this way, when we read Shastra, when we attend Srimad Bhagavatam class, we are reminded again and again and again. That is the reason Prabhupada made it a point that every single day Bhagavatam class happens in the morning, 8 o'clock in every single temple all around the world. And evening, there's a Bhagavad Gita class in the temple that happens at 6 o'clock in every other temple. In our center, we've not implemented yet. We will surely do that. But in all the big temples, it is happening. Morning and evening. Prabhupada made it a point. Why? Because even in a day, multiple times, this reminder is needed. Multiple times. And you look at Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, what are they talking about? Become fired up in bhakti. Become fired up in bhakti. You don't know any time anything can happen. Right? So in this way, when we understand this, and then when we look around, then we'll feel it so wonderful. We'll feel this world is so wonderful that everyone knows that, they're going to die someday, but they're living as if they'll never die. That is the point that is made in this place. where Yamraj is questioning Yudhishthir Maharaj. So Yudhishthir Maharaj and Yamraj both are great devotees. And they are talking about this only for us, so that we understand where are we currently stuck. Let's go to the next sloka. Now we come back to Hiranyakashipu. Now Hiranyakashipu is speaking. And then we'll come back to Narada Muni. Then we'll come back to Shukadeva Goswami. So Hiranyakashipu said, while Yamraj in the form of a small boy was instructing all the relatives surrounding the dead body of Suyagya, everyone was struck with wonder by his philosophical words. They could understand that everything material is temporary, not continuing to exist. See, now it is not the first time that these people are hearing this philosophy. Not the first time. But when this philosophy was spoken again and again and again, and now when at the time when the husband has died and when it is spoken to all the wives around, now these people are able to digest. Oh yes, this happens. Yes, this happens. Right? Purport. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 2:18. Antavanta ime deha nitya shoktaha sharirinaha. The body is perishable, but the soul within the body is imperishable. Therefore, the duty of those advanced in the knowledge in human society is to study the constitutional position of the imperishable soul and not waste the valuable time of human life in merely maintaining the body, not considering life's real responsibility. So we had a huge class last session where we discussed about the importance of time. That's what Prabhupada is mentioning. Look at this. Yes. And what does he say? The duty of those advanced in knowledge in human society. He's talking about all of us. What is that? Study the constitutional position of imperishable soul and not waste valuable time of human life in merely maintaining the body and not considering life's real responsibility. So many people say, oh, I've got so much of responsibility in life, Prabhuji. That's okay. Those responsibilities are there. Anyways, we have to execute. There's no option. But the real responsibility, because those responsibilities are related to the body, but the real responsibility, which is related to the soul, is attaining Krishna this very lifetime. If we are not doing that, then we're not doing justice to this human form. This has to be clear. And you see, Prabhupada repeats this point again and again at so many places. Even in his classes, he speaks about this. Every human being should try to understand how the spirit soul can be happy and where he can attain an eternal, blissful life of knowledge. We all know this secret. Only and only in bhakti. Only in devotional service. When a person starts practicing devotional service, when he gets closer to Krishna, and finally when he attains Krishna, at that time this state comes. Eternal, blissful life of knowledge. Human beings are meant to study these subject matters, not to be absorbed in caring for the temporary body, which is sure to change. See, this word is very important. What is that word? Not to be absorbed in caring for the temporary body. See, this word absorbed is very important. Why? So if we are doing the needful, then we'll not be absorbed in that particular thing. We'll be absorbed in that activity which we give a lot of importance. So now when we are maintaining this body, when we are getting absorbed in just maintaining this body, then where is the question of getting absorbed in Krishna conscious thoughts? See, mind can be absorbed at one point of time only at one thing. Simple. So this particular moment, we all are trying to get absorbed in Bhagavatam. So now mind cannot think about anything apart from that. But, you know, you just just release your mind, just relax and don't hear attentively what happens. The mind takes us over. So many times it happens while giving class, the mind tricks and the point, the point just goes away. You know, it becomes difficult to recollect also what happened. Sometimes it happens while, when we chant prayers. It has happened so many times with me. While chanting prayers, mind took me somewhere and then I forgot the prayer. Once for deity worship also, it happened. So, doing deity worship this couple of years back, doing deity worship, I can never forget this. This was the next day of Janmashtami, and the previous day we didn't sleep at all. And then I was offering the incense to the Lord. And then multiple photos were there and my deities were there, Shri Sunitai Gorsunar, so I was worshipping. And then what happened is, while doing that, I forgot whom was I actually offering the incense. I had to start back again, from Krishna and then come down. So the mind takes us, not just takes us, right? So the point is, when we're absorbed in something, we'll be absorbed only in that thing. So that's what we see in this entire world. People are absorbed, completely absorbed about sense enjoyment, completely absorbed. So now when you go and talk about Bhagavad Gita, no, we don't have time. Why you don't have time? Sir, I'm absorbed. That's the answer. They don't give, but we understand. I'm absorbed, right? So this absorb word is very, very important. So our main goal of life is to get absorbed in Krishna conscious thoughts, to get absorbed in chanting, to get absorbed in Srimad Bhagavatam, yes? Not to get absorbed in the worldly affairs of this world. No one knows whether he will receive a human body again. There is no guarantee. For according to one's work, one may get any body. From that of a demigod to that of a dog. And in this regard, Srila Madhvacharya says, only Janardhan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is ever existing. But his creation, the material world, is temporary. Therefore, everyone who is captivated by the material energy and absorbed in thinking, I am this body and everything belonging to this body is mine, is an illusion. One should think only of being eternally a part of Janardhan, and one's endeavor in this material world, especially in this human form of life, should be to attain the association of Janardhan by going back to Godhead. So this is a very nice point that Prabhupada is making. So Prabhupada is saying, and Madhvacharya, he's commenting Madhvacharya, mentioning Madhvacharya. So this point has to be again and again told, that I am part of Krishna. Main aapka daas ho, Bhagwan main aapka daas ho, Krishna, I am your servant. Then why am I serving Maya? I am not servant of Maya. I am servant of Krishna. I am a servant of yours. Then instead of thinking about you, why I am thinking about anything of this world? Oh Lord, why? This is the prayer which devotees offer. I want to, you know, always remember you. 24/7 I want to remember you. But you know, look at me. I am your servant. And I'm not chaste to you. I've got a paramour. I'm having an illicit connection with whom? Maya Shakti. And now I'm serving her. What sort of servant I am? Just imagine, you know, we are, okay, let's take your corporate example. So you're working, you're taking salary in one company and then you're working for some other company. How does that look? Yes, it's almost like betraying one place, right? That's what is our situation. So, ideally, as servants of Krishna, we have to be always absorbed in Krishna. No doubt about that. But our condition is, we are always absorbed in Maya. And sometimes, we come to Krishna. Sometimes. Then we suddenly realize, no, I am Krishna Bhakta, I have to serve. Literally, we have to pray to Krishna. Why this is happening? Oh Lord, please help me. See, unless and until Lord does not help, unless and until Lord's mercy does not flow, a person cannot serve Krishna. Simple. Unless and until a devotee does not become merciful unto us, a person, you know, we don't accept a guru and we don't listen to his instructions and the mercy of Krishna does not flow till then, we cannot progress in bhakti. Not possible. Very difficult. And then we cannot understand Krishna and we cannot serve Krishna. We cannot be in our constitutional position of being servant of Krishna. This is what is our current situation. So we have to intensely pray to Krishna. Oh Lord, why this is happening? Why this is happening? Because now at least I've understood in this life that I'm supposed to serve you. You are my master. You are maintaining me. In one of the plays, it is given, Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadati Kaman. There is one person, Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadati Kaman. That personality is fulfilling the desires of everyone. So Krishna is fulfilling our desire. He is our maintainer. Why are we serving Maya? Why are we serving illusion? Yes. So this is the prayer that we have to offer. Oh Lord, why? No, please help me. Now at least I'm realizing that I have to think about you, but it's very difficult. See, I'm a Baddha Jiva. And how can a Baddha Jiva remember you? You're a Supreme Personality of Godhead. You're unlimited. And how can I, who's a Baddha Jiva, you know, who is rotting in this material world and suffering in this material for lifetime after lifetime, and who is doing sense gratification lifetime after lifetime, and who has got unlimited desires, unending desires, which increase every moment. Oh Krishna, how can I ever think about you constantly? Only when you shower your mercy onto this fallen soul, then it is possible that I'll be able to remember you. Then I'll be able to chant, you know, attentively. Then I'll be able to hear Bhagavatam attentively. Or it's not possible. Oh Lord, please understand, you know, my situation. I'm a Baddha Jiva. I'm a Baddha Jiva. I'm a Baddha Jiva. So this is a prayer that, you know, we all have to offer. We have to offer it with intensity. That, oh Lord, I'm a Baddha Jiva, I cannot do. Baddha Jiva means what? I'm bound. Just imagine, we are bound. Our hands are tied, our legs are tied. And what are we, what is expected from us? Run! And go and touch the, you know, finish line. Hare, how will I run? I'm Baddha Jiva. My hands and legs are tied. Oh Lord, my hands and legs are tied. How can I run? Because Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, what they are saying, attain Krishna, attain Krishna, attain Krishna, but we are Baddha Jiva. His hands and legs are tied and we are just there on the road and we are expected to run on the road and, you know, go and touch Krishna's, Krishna, you know, he's standing with his, you know, hand, palms ahead. You have to go and touch his, you know, palm. How can we do that? How can we do that? We are Baddha. Now we are bound in this material world. Only a person who is Mukta can actually free us. Only a Mukta. No one else can free us. Only a Mukta. A pure devotee, you know, who takes interest in our life, he will come and unknot, you know, remove the knot. And Krishna is the one, you know, who can just cut open, you know, whatever, wherever the knots are there in the body, he can cut open and he can release. So that is the point. So every class we start with this, that, oh, no, we have to beg, we have to beg, we have to beg. While chanting, we have to beg. When we go in front of the altar, we have to beg, oh Lord, look at my situation. See, Lord knows our situation. But we tell him, look at my situation. But we are, you know, putting forward our desire that, oh Lord, I want to practice bhakti very nicely. See, all of us who have assembled today, we are 40 participants. And I'm sure, you know, the count might be some 70 or something, including all the family members. So, you know, we all want to attain Krishna. We have a sincere desire, no doubt about that. But we have been pulled again and again behind. And we don't know what is pulling us. Don't you think so? There's so many times devotees say, Prabhu, I don't know, you know, what is happening. I want to progress ahead, but I'm not able to do that. In fact, I tell this to my Shiksha Guru also. Something is pulling me back. Something is pulling me back. What is that? What is that? Same thing. No, we have been tied. Our hands are tied. Our legs are tied and we want to run. So we want to run. We have a desire to run, but our hands and legs are tied. So what is the prayer that we have to offer to the Lord? Oh Lord, please cut. Please cut this rope. Yes. Please help me. I'm a Baddha Jiva. Unless and until your mercy does not flow, oh Lord, I can never ever think of attaining. Never. Our situation is like a person drowning in the river. We don't know swimming. And the river is flowing with a great force. And it's just swaying us. You know, we are just going from one end to another and we're just going and going and going. From how long? Lifetime after lifetime. So many lifetimes. We're just flowing in that river and the river is with great speed it is flowing. And we don't know swimming. And you know, we are just calling out for help. So tell me, with what intensity will that person who is drowning in that river call out for the person who is there outside on the bank? Or the person on the top who is just floating? You know, how, or a boat which is coming around? How intensely will the person call? How intensely? He'll be so intense while chanting, oh Lord, please help me, please help me, please help me, protect me, protect me. I'm struggling here. How will I attain you, Lord? This is my state. I cannot remember you. I'm a Baddha Jiva. Please help me. So one devotee asked me this question last time in a youth class. So that devotee asked me this question that, how often should we offer this prayer, Prabhuji? This was the question. How often should we offer such prayer, intense prayers? The same thing I said, a person who is drowning in the river, how often he'll offer the prayer? How often will he call out for the person? Every moment. Every moment. Because he knows he's drowning. Yes, anytime he can die. That is the condition of the person. So that is what is our situation also. Right? We have to offer intense prayers. We have to beg the Lord. While chanting, every single round when we chant, you know, we have to beg the Lord like anything. Oh Lord, please help me. Please help. Agar aap nahi madad karoge to aur kiske paas jaau main? If you are not helping, you tell me at least where to go, I'll go there. You tell me where to go. But oh Lord, Shastra say you are the person. So I have to come to you only. Prabhupada, you are the person. You are that Acharya. You are my guru. Yes, you are the person. So I have to come to you only. You have to shower your mercy. Yes. So when a devotee offers prayers like this, Lord has no option but to shower his mercy. There are many, many devotees all around the world. Even in ISKCON, we have many, many devotees. In the different sampradayas, we have many devotees. But it's not that every devotee will go back home back to God in this very lifetime. Yes. So the difference between a devotee who goes back home and the devotee does not go back home, the difference between the two is the one who goes back home or who attains Krishna is crying and begging for that mercy. Simple. Crying and begging for that mercy. So every single day, you know, morning, evening, whenever you know, we are doing devotional activity, at least, ideally we should do it every moment, but you know, with the Baddha Jivanet, every moment how we will go. At least while chanting, every single round when we start, you know, beg and pray to the Lord. Now, I'm trying to chant, oh Lord, but I'm a Baddha Jiva, I'm bound. How can I literally chant your name and be focused? Yes, it's not a very fair thing that you're expecting me to be focused while chanting. It's not a fair thing. Yes. I'm a disturbed living entity in this age of Kali Yuga, and Kali Yuga is disturbed always. And what are you expecting? Chant attentively. How can I do that, O Lord? You have to help me. You have to help me. Without your help, I cannot do anything. I cannot move a bead, and I cannot say even Hare without your help. O Lord, please help me. Please help me. How long you want me to be here? No, you at least tell me, you know, I'll be satisfied. You tell me how long you want me to be here. Yes, in one of the pastime, so one devotee, he was not getting mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His name was Mukunda. So he had done some mistake. You know, that's a big pastime. We'll not go get into that. So he had done some mistake, and Lord Chaitanya, well, he gave mercy to everyone, all the devotees. And he was the only one who was remaining. Then all the devotees said that, Mahaprabhu, you're not giving mercy to him. What's the problem? Gauranga, why are you not giving mercy to him? He said that I'll not give him mercy. I'll not give him my mercy. Then Mukunda started crying. He was behind the pillar and he was hearing what Lord is speaking. And then he started crying like anything. And then while crying, he told the devotees, at least ask him that when will I get his darshan? So then all the devotees, they went from Mukunda back to Mahaprabhu, to Gauranga. And they asked, Mukunda is asking when you'll give darshan. And at that time, Lord Chaitanya said, only after 10 million lifetimes, he'll get my darshan. And then the devotees, need not go now. He was hearing anyways. So when Mukunda heard 10 million lifetimes, he started jumping in ecstasy. Like, oh, after 10 million lifetimes, I'll meet the Lord. I'll get his darshan 10 million lifetimes only. And was jumping in ecstasy. And then when Lord saw this person is having so much of faith in him, Lord said, get him here. I want to give him darshan now. So you can ask the Lord that at least you tell me. Because see, millions of lifetime is not a big thing. Because anyways, you have spent many, many millions of lifetimes. So 1 million lifetime or 10 million lifetime is nothing. Yes, so you can tell the Lord. See, you tell me at least one date. You tell me which year or how many lifetimes later I'll meet you. Yes. But then we put forward one our desire, intense desire. But I have an intense desire to attain you, O Lord, in this very lifetime. Yes, you may decide to take me anytime, in any other lifetime. But I have a desire to attain you this very lifetime. Yes. So, O Lord, please fulfill this desire. I don't want anything. Anyways, you have given me everything. You have given me a good body. So many and people around are so nice to me, and I don't have any much problem. You have already given everything, but oh Lord, one thing is missing. You are missing. Yes, I want you. Please help me. Yes, please help me. Without you, my life is incomplete. And this is what I've understood now in this lifetime when I've got this opportunity to practice bhakti. Now, at least in this lifetime, I want to come back to you. If I don't practice bhakti intensely, how will I come back to you? And I know very well, I cannot become intense in bhakti without your mercy, without mercy of Sri Guru and Gauranga. It's not possible. Oh Lord, when will you shower your mercy? Yes. Please help me, O Lord. Please help me. I'm struggling, O Lord. I'm struggling. And why am I struggling? I'm struggling to come back to you. I'm struggling to practice devotional service. Please help me. So every round should start like this, where we are literally begging the Lord that please help, please help, please help. And you'll see the effect, how the mercy flows, and literally our rounds are really good. And literally we advance faster in devotional service, when we offer such prayers. What is just missing is begging. That is missing. Crying is missing. Yes. So it is said, Jo roya, wo Bhagwan Krishna ko paya. One who cried will surely attain Krishna. One who cries will surely attain Krishna. Obviously, we don't make a show. Road pe jaake ro rahe. It's a private dealing with Krishna. So privately we call out for Krishna that please help. Kabhi kabhi karoge aap kripa. When will you shower your mercy? This lifetime I want to come back to you. So we should be convinced first that I want to go back to Krishna this very lifetime and have to offer this prayer. Yes. Then only it is possible that this human form of life which is given to us, we can actually attain Krishna. Yes. That's what here it is spoken about. Prabhupada is saying that we are actually part of Krishna. Actually, we have to serve Krishna, but we are not able to. And what is the goal of life? To attain Krishna, to go back home back to Godhead. And this will be possible only when we are intense in our bhakti by offering wonderful prayers. And these prayers need not be Bhagavatam prayers. Yes. I mean, need not be as elevated as Bhagavatam prayers. We are Tuchha Ji, we are Baddha Ji. What prayers will offer? Tell me. So we have so many nice prayers, like Kunti Maharani is offering prayers. Then Gajendra is offering prayers. So Gajendra says, Om Namo Bhagavate Tasmai Yata Etachidatmakam Purushaya Adi Bijaya Pareshaya Abhidhimahi. Om Namo Bhagavate Tasmai. I offer my obeisances to whom? No, Bhagavate, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Namo Bhagavate Tasmai Yata Etachidatmakam. All the living entities around are getting consciousness only because of your presence. Om Namo Bhagavate Tasmai Yata Eta Chidatmakam Purushayadi Bijaya Pareshayabi Dhimahi. All the living entities are in there in this material world because you have put that bija as seed. So these are all seeds which we have sown, yes, in this material world. Purushayadi Bijaya Pareshayabi Dhimahi. You are Par Isha. You are Ishwara, who is Para, who is transcendental to this entire world. Pareshaya Abhidhimahi. Now, obviously, it's not expected that we offer such prayers. Just imagine we go and offer such prayers. Difficult, not difficult. Even when it comes to Prahlad Maharaj or Dhruva Maharaj, even they were not able to offer prayers, no proper prayers. And then they offered prayers to the Lord saying, I am not able to offer prayers. And then Lord, using his conscience, he touched the head of Dhruva Maharaj, and Dhruva Maharaj started chanting wonderful prayers, wonderful prayers. So if they are not able to offer nice prayers, what about us? But one thing that we can do is we can offer prayers at whatever level we are in. So I was giving this example in another class that when a small child starts speaking for the first time, yes, mama, papa, yes, dad, mom, whatever, yes. And then, whatever the child speaks, the parents are so happy. Yes, I've seen this personally. And we also feel happy. Any kid speaks broken language, we feel happy. That is what is our situation. We are toddlers. We are newborn babies, or we are toddlers in front of the Supreme Personality of God. We are just toddlers. And then when we offer prayers, which are broken, obviously our prayers will be broken for sure. Sometimes we'll think also, what should I offer prayer now? Yes. Whatever it is, the broken prayers which are there, Lord will relish. Oh, my cute baby, you're growing up. Yes. So he literally feel good. Okay, chilo, my baby is growing. Now he wants to come back to me. Lord will look at us. So it doesn't matter what sort of prayers we are offering, but we have to offer intense prayers. It need not be really eloquent. It need not be nice, poetic or whatever. But our prayer should be from the heart. Saying, oh Lord, I want to attain you this very lifetime. Please help me. I'm your part. I'm your servant. Why the hell I should serve the Maya Shakti around? This is the prayer that we can offer. Yes. So that's what Prabhupada says about one's endeavor in this material world, especially in this human form of life, should be to attain the association of Janardana by going back home, back to Godhead. Text 59. After instructing all the foolish relatives of Suyagya, Yamaraj, in the form of a boy, disappeared from their vision. Then the relatives of King Suyagya performed the ritualistic funeral ceremonies. So, after hearing the entire philosophy, they became serious in bhakti. Translation, they became serious and they understood the fact and they allowed the body to be cremated. Therefore, none of you, who is saying this? Hiranyakashipu is telling to Diti, his mother, and then wife of Hiranyaksha, Rishabhanu, and the kids of Hiranyaksha. So he's speaking to them. And there he's saying, therefore, none of you should be aggrieved. For what? For the loss of body, whether your own or those of others. Only in ignorance does one make bodily distinctions, thinking, who am I? Who are the others? What is mine? What is for others? Purport. In this material world, the conception of self-preservation is the first law of nature. According to this conception, one should be interested in his personal safety and should then consider society, friendship, love, nationality, community, and so on, which have all developed because the bodily conception of life and a lack of knowledge of the spirit soul. This is called ajnana. As long as the human society is in darkness and ignorance, men will continue to make huge arrangements in the bodily conception of life. This is described by Prahlad Maharaj as bharam. In this materialistic conception, modern civilization makes enormous arrangements for huge roads, houses, mills, and factories. And this is man's conception of advancement of civilization. People do not know, however, that at any time they themselves may be kicked out of the scene and forced to accept bodies that have nothing to do with these enormous houses, palaces, roads, and automobiles. Therefore, when Arjuna was thinking in terms of his bodily relationship with his kinsmen, Krishna immediately chastised him, saying, Kutastva kalmasham idam vishame samupastitam anaryajustam. This bodily conception of life is befitting. Where is that? The bodily conception of life is befitting the Aryans, Anaryans, the non-Aryans who are not advanced in knowledge. An Aryan civilization is a civilization advanced in spiritual knowledge. Not merely by stamping oneself an Aryan does one become an Aryan. To keep oneself in deepest darkness concerning spiritual knowledge and at the same time claim to be an Aryan is a non-Aryan position. In this connection, Srila Madhvacharya quotes as follows from Brahma Vivarta Purana. So basically in this entire thing is talked about Ajnana. So Ajnana is basically, what is my real constitutional position? I'm spirit soul, I'm not this body. This is my real constitutional position. And not knowing that is called as Ajnana, simple. And since we don't know that and we get absorbed in the bodily conception of life and we give a lot of importance to the bodily necessities, so that's called as Ajnana. So that's what is talked about. And who is an Aryan? So Aryan is basically a person who has got good knowledge or knowledge of the absolute or knowledge of the truth or the real knowledge, which every single human being should be concerned of. That is the knowledge of body soul, the knowledge of Supreme Personality of Godhead, the knowledge of this Prakriti, and the knowledge of how to go back home back to Godhead. The purport is that as long as we are in this human form of body, our duty is to understand the soul within the body. The body is not the self. We are different from the body, and therefore there is no question of friends, enemies, or responsibilities in terms of bodily conception of life. One should not be very anxious about the body's changes from childhood to boyhood, from boyhood to old age, and then to apparent annihilation. Rather, one should be very seriously concerned about the soul within the body and how to release the soul from the material clutches. The living entity within the body is never annihilated. Therefore, one should surely know that whether one has many friends or many enemies, his friends cannot help him and his enemies cannot do him any harm. One should know that he is a spirit soul, Aham Brahmasmi, and that the constitutional position of the soul is unaffected by the changes of the body. In all circumstances, everyone as a spirit soul must be a devotee of Lord Vishnu and should not be concerned with bodily relationships, whether we be whether with friends or with enemies. One should know that neither we ourselves nor our enemies in the bodily conception of life are ever killed. So anyone who understands this concept that I'm not the body, I'm spirit soul, life becomes very simple. Life becomes very easy. And to understand that and come to that realization, you know, it takes time. No doubt about that. So as soon as we understand that I am not in this body, I'm spirit soul. So what happens at that time? So at that time, we understand I'm spirit soul. So these people whom I'm calling friends, now they are anyways cannot help me because they can just help this body, which is anyways temporary. And enemies are there, what they can do max to max, you know, harm this body, but I'm not this body, simple. Why should I really worry? So there'll be no fear in life, and that's how sadhus are fearless. They're fearless, completely fearless. So in this way, we see that just by understanding, no, we are not speaking big thing. Just by understanding, we are not the body, we are spirit soul. Second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Just if we understand second chapter of Bhagavad Gita thoroughly and realize the fact, we can go back home back to Godhead. Simple. Isliye, so no, second chapter is titled as summary of Gita. That's how, so that's so important. And what is that chapter talking about? We are not the body, we are spiritual. Throughout. The last loka of this chapter, finally, we can celebrate today. We are completing one chapter. Translation. Sri Narada Muni continued, Diti. Now Hiranyakashipu spoke. Now again Narada Muni is speaking. So let's come back to Narada Muni. Narada Muni continued, Diti, the mother of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, heard the instructions of Hiranyakashipu along with her daughter-in-law Rishabhanu, Hiranyaksha's wife. She then forgot her grief over her son's death and thus engaged her mind and attention in understanding the real philosophy of life. Purport. When a relative dies, one certainly becomes very much interested in philosophy. But when the funeral ceremony is over, one again becomes attentive to materialism. Even daityas, who are materialistic persons, sometimes think of philosophy when some relative meets death. The technical term for this attitude of materialistic person is smashana vairagya, or detachment in a crematory or place of cremation. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, four classes of men receive an understanding of spiritual life and God. Artha, the distressed, Jigyasu, the inquisitive, Artharthi, one who desires material gains, and Jnani, one who is searching for knowledge. If I'm not wrong, this is 7th chapter, 16th shloka. The translation of that Prabhupada is written here. Especially when one is very much distressed by material conditions, one becomes interested in God. Therefore, Kunti Devi said in her prayers to Krishna that she preferred distress to be to a happy mode of life. See, it's a very nice point that is mentioned here. There's a concept called Smashana Vairagya. And Smashana Vairagya basically means when, as soon as a person leaves us, who is very close to us, you know, dies, automatically dialogues change. Kya rakha hai is dunya mein? What is there in this world? Sab moha maya hai. Everything is illusion. Yes. Why we have to literally work so hard? Why I have to do this? Why I have to do that? Dekhiye, finally kya ho gaya? Mitti mein mil gaya na? Finally the person got mixed with the soil. He just went into oblivion. We cannot know also where this person is. So that is called Smashana Vairagya. That is there for some time. And then when all the rituals are over, 13th day is over, or whatever rituals are over, then finally the person comes back now to his original mood. Drink, eat, merry. He's back with full force. Now the full force means full force, because for last 1 month maybe he might have not enjoyed materialism. Now when he comes back with full force. So that's what is the situation with people around Smashana Vairagya. But devotees don't get Smashana Vairagya. Devotees who are serious about bhakti, who are chanting every day, who are reading Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and other scriptures given by Prabhupada, and who are listening to Srimad Bhagavatam discourses, and the ones who are really serious in attaining Krishna, they don't get Smashana Vairagya. They automatically have Vairagya in the heart. Because it is very clearly mentioned in Bhagavatam that anyone who practices bhakti, two aspects are natural to that person. What is that? Jnana and Vairagya. That person gets the knowledge automatically, and the person also gets Vairagya. That is detachment. So in this way, Jnana and Vairagya are just byproduct of practicing bhakti. Right? So when it comes to Smashana Vairagya, devotees don't get this. Or even if they get, that remains permanent. Yes, that they always keep meditating on that. Yes, ye mere sath bhi ho sakta hai. And whenever they read Bhagavatam, they come back to the point, oh, okay, I saw that with my own eyes. I saw that. Right? So the Smashana Vairagya, you will see with materialists. When Corona started, and people started dying, there were many, many people who started speaking about this. What is there in life? See, anytime we can die, whatever, anytime anything can happen. And now same people are on the road. This is called Smashana Vairagya. Smashana Vairagya. And then there are four categories of people who approach the Lord. One who is distressed, one who is inquisitive, one who desires material gains, and one who is searching for knowledge. See, we might, mostly I've seen this, that people who come with problems to bhakti, they are called as artha, distressed. So these artho category of people who are there, who come to bhakti, when as soon as their miseries or that particular problem which was there, that is removed from their life by practice of bhakti, or maybe the manifestation of karma at that particular point of time, it is seen that the person stops practicing bhakti after that. It is seen many times. So if at all any one of us have come to bhakti because of some problem, some distress in life, so it's an alarm that when the problem gets solved, we might leave bhakti. So before that, we have to become intense in our devotional service. I've seen many times when a person is jobless, person is not getting a proper match for marriage, or a person not having kids, or the person having some health issue or whatever, those people become so serious in bhakti. And initially you'll feel like, oh, these people are pure devotees from past life. Yes, we have faced this so many times. I've seen such category of people. And then they'll become intense initially for 1 month, 2 months. They'll be like chanting. I remember one of my friends, this was in the college time, back in 2013 or something like that. Yes, 13 or 14. So one of my friend, so he kiddish thing, he had a breakup, you know, with whatever relation he had with the girl, he had a breakup. He was crying and weeping and things like that. And then, you know, I was already practicing at that time bhakti. So I thought, yes, preaching. And I went there and then told him, by chanting, everything will get solved. Don't worry, this and that. So he started chanting. And the glories of chanting is so that, you know, within 1 week, he came out of depression. Just in 1 week. Yes. And 1 week, he came out of depression. And in 1 month, he was out of bhakti. Out of bhakti. Yes. This is what happens. This is what happens. So again and again, we repeat in the class, you know, we have to become intense in bhakti. If we become intense in bhakti, then, you know, we are not in bhakti for anything else. We are not in bhakti to solve problems of life. We are in bhakti to attain Krishna. So when the goal changes from solving the problem to attaining Krishna, so when the goal becomes attaining Krishna, the person becomes fixed up in bhakti. If the person is just there, Prabhuji, how to get peace in life? Prabhuji, my wife is troubling me. Prabhuji, my kids are troubling me. Okay, all those things are okay. Yes, but become intense in bhakti. Yes, those things will anyways get solved. Nothing in this world is permanent. No husband, no wife, no kids, no relative, no friend. No one is permanent in this world. You know, one day everyone has to... Sorry, I shouldn't say this after understanding Gita. I'm somewhere around. Yes. So anyways, it's going to happen. So why worry so much? So we have to somehow or the other... By our intense practice of devotional service, by hearing devotees who are intense in bhakti, we have to reinforce the goal or replace the goal if there is anything else apart from Krishna. We have to put Krishna as the goal. And anyone who has Krishna as the goal of life, that person can never leave bhakti. Never. Only thing is aspiring for us, when will I attain Krishna? When will I attain Krishna? When will I attain Krishna? Right. So that is what is the category that is talked about. But Kunti Devi has got an amazing prayer. She says, oh Lord, please give me more distress so that I can remember you more, become more intense in bhakti and attain you. Something like that. And that's what is the prayer that she offers. And where is that? In the material world, one who is happy forgets Krishna or God. But sometimes one is actually pious, but in distress he remembers Krishna. This happens with most of us, you know, if you see. When we are very happy in our life, we might not remember Krishna because we are busy celebrating. But when it comes to distress, we know very well, no one in this world can help me now. Yes. I have to fall back. My fallback option is Krishna. Let me go back to Krishna. So I've seen some devotees who go out of bhakti and they come back. Go out, come back. So when they come back, we understand some problem is there. then we directly ask, Prabhuji, what happened? What is the problem that you're facing? Now I've seen this many devotees chanting ekdam bandh ho jata, zero chanting. And suddenly they start chanting. Suddenly they'll come to Mangalarti at 4:30, they'll be in the temple. And then easily looking at the face of the person, we can make out, kuch toh hua hai isko. Kuch toh hua hai, isliye aa raha hai. So we shouldn't fall in that category. At least, you know, we people who all are students of Gita, who have been attending these sessions, these intense discourses from so long, we shouldn't be in this category. So even when we are happy, you know, whatever happiness is there, that should be, you know, dedicated at the lotus feet of Krishna. Oh, Krishna, this is because of you. So whenever devotees are happy, what they do, you know, they host kirtan in their house. They host class in their house. They invite all the Vaishnavas home and they feed all the Vaishnavas. And they have a class on birth and death. Yes. The devotees celebrate like that. Devotees, you know, have Mahabhishekam of their deities. And then devotees will offer new garments, new clothes to their deities. Or they'll make new garland, a nice garland for the deities. Yes. Or they will chant extra rounds on that particular day. This is how devotees celebrate. By remembering more and not forgetting Krishna. So when we are happy, at least we people who are, you know, who have favorable circumstance, and when we have happiness in life, so at that time one thing is very clear. Since we have been practicing bhakti, we know the philosophy. At that time we should forcefully, intensely practice bhakti, because it will happen. Intense bhakti will happen at that time because everything is favorable. Yes. So intense reading, intense hearing, intense chanting. That's what has to be done. So when it comes to devotees, this line might not be valid. This is for the materialist. In the happy times, we forget. And in distress times, people remember the Lord. But when it comes to devotees, devotees remember the Lord in happiness more. And in distress, even more. Yes. When Krishna was... Okay. So Kunti Devi, therefore, preferred distress. Because it's an opportunity for remembering Krishna. So it's by default. When Krishna was leaving Kunti Devi for his own country, So this is from Hastinapur to Dwarka. So Krishna was leaving to Dwarka after the Mahabharata Yuddha. Kunti Devi regretfully said that she was better off in distress because Krishna was always present. Whereas now that the Pandavas were situated in their kingdom, Krishna was going away. For a devotee, distress is an opportunity to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly. And this is true. I've seen this. Personally, there are some experiences in my own life. And I've heard from senior devotees. And I also hear from different devotees who are taking guidance. So all of them, they would say, Prabhuji, that time when I had problem, my bhakti was so intense. Prayers were coming directly from the heart, from here only out, not even from the mouth. Directly from the heart, the prayers would come. But now, the problem is solved. So now it's not that intense. Yes. So that's true. So that is the reason, if you remember this one line that I made in the previous session. Every crisis is an opportunity to become intense in bhakti. Yes. Every crisis, every problem is an opportunity to become intense in bhakti. Whenever a crisis comes in a devotee's life, a devotee should be, he cannot be happy, but he should understand that it's an opportunity. Let me become intense. So consciously we have to become intense now. Because as devotees now we have understood, crisis is an opportunity. So why don't we become consciously, intense in that particular point of time? Yes. And we don't go searching for solutions here and there. This Baba, that Baba, and astrology and this and that. That doesn't suit a devotee. Yes, because a devotee is always dependent on Krishna. Yes. And then when he's always dependent on Krishna, what he's supposed to do? Practice bhakti. What is the option? Be it happiness or be it distress. Only thing that the devotees do is practice bhakti. Today afternoon, one of my students had called me. So he was asking me that, sometimes when people dump their problems onto us, what should we do at that particular point of time when we cannot ignore them? So naturally, the answer which is there for every question is chant intensely. So keep chanting in your mind and focus on chanting. So you'll not get affected with what people are saying. Right? So our only solution, only fallback option in our life is bhakti. Simple. There is no question. Anytime we are distressed, we are feeling really morose, we give a call to our counselor, to our mentor, to our bhakti riksha leader, anyone, yes, whom we are connected to. And at that time when we give a call, so the only thing that we'll hear about is bhakti. And when we start doing it, automatically, we become blissful. So thus ends the Bhakti Vedanta purports of 7th canto, 2nd chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Hiranyakashipu, the King of the Demons. All glories to all of you all who have been attending these sessions from last 18 days. Yes. So next session, what we're going to see is Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal. What tapasya did Hiranyakashipu do? And we'll also learn from Hiranyakashipu how to do tapasya. We'll try to learn from Hiranyakashipu how to become intense in whatever we are doing. So that's what we'll learn in our future sessions. Yes, and also there are some lessons that which I wanted to cover, which was coming to my mind, but it's already time up. So I'll take questions now, and then in the next session we can cover a few more concepts. Okay, anyway, now the lockdown is almost over. I heard people are already there on the road, and it's becoming normal. So it's my humble request to all of you all that you please be normal. Like normal bhakti, whatever you're currently doing, please make sure you continue the same thing. In fact, more intense. Yes, we shouldn't go down in our bhakti because we start traveling outside or whatever. So we shouldn't go down in bhakti. Now, this lockdown period was actually a benediction for all the devotees. And all the devotees all around the world, this is what we have been hearing. Everyone have tasted that bhakti, the bhakti aspect. Everyone has tasted. Everyone. Whoever has been attending the sessions, because all over the world, today afternoon, I don't know whom I was speaking to. One senior devotee I was speaking to, so he was saying this, that yesterday night, not today afternoon, yesterday evening I was speaking to one devotee. So he was saying that the Zoom people will get a lot of Agyat Sukriti. Because of them, that is the 40 minutes of free session which is there. Devotees are utilized all around the world. And there was one tweet, one devotee had shared that screenshot. So that there, the Zoom people are actually writing, what these people of ISKCON are doing for 2-3 hours straight on Zoom? So they are asking this question. That was the tweet. So in this way, you know, we see that all around the world, you know, devotees have taken maximum benefit of this lockdown period, and they have tasted bhakti, if not to a very great extent, but at least a little they have tasted bhakti. So if we have tasted bhakti, you know, in this lockdown period, we have to continue doing that. And in fact, we should become more intense, because lockdown is open and the cases are increasing. Yes, and our life is like a bubble on the water surface. Yes, and one virus hits the bubble, we are the bubble will burst. Yes, so this is my humble request to all of you all. Yes, please practice bhakti intensely. And every single day, I'm offering prayers for all of you all. Yes, whenever Tulsi Aarti goes, one extra parikrama I do saying, please bless all the devotees who are attending these sessions regularly. Please bless all of them so that all of them attain you this very lifetime. So this is what is my prayer when I do this extra Tulsi Parikrama. Okay, let me take questions now. Could you send the link of important shlokas of BG in groups so that we can do intense study? Okay, sure. We can do that. Do two devotees even feel distress? Doesn't a true devotee become equally poised in happiness and distress? A true devotee is, you know, always distressed, because he's away from Krishna. The true devotee is always depressed. You go and ask, how is your life? Oh, miserable. Why? I'm not able to remember Krishna. He's a true devotee. Yes. So, hope this answers your question. Yes. So, yes, they feel distress, but they don't feel distress like materialist because of some shortcomings in this material world. They feel distress because they're not able to remember Krishna all the time, 24/7. So, that is their distress. But when it comes to happiness and distress of this world, it hardly matters, because the distress that is there in their heart of not able to practice bhakti intensely, that is so great, it takes over the happiness and distress of this world. So it doesn't affect them at all. They're equipoised in both the situations. Distress in both the situations. But that distress also is a sort of bliss in the heart of a devotee, because with that distress, with that intense prayers, at least he's able to remember Krishna in those, you know, particular moments of life. Yes. So, hope I didn't confuse you more. Oh, today's attendance is 77. Thank you very much. Can you please share the prayers offered to Lord by great devotees like Dhruv Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj and others? Yes, I would request your Bhakti Vriksha leader, Deepang Prabhu. So, Sriram Prabhu can share you the prayers. So, the amazing prayers are there in Bhagavatam. So, they can send you the link. Okay, another important announcement. So, on coming 2nd, there's a very important Ekadashi called Nirjala Ekadashi. Okay, so this Nirjala Ekadashi, so what happened is, Pandavas, all five of them would do Ekadashi. I'm sorry, all four of them would do Ekadashi, but one person wouldn't be able to do Ekadashi, and his name was Bhima. So Bhima was, he's called as Vrikodhara. Vrikodhara means voracious eater. Then, he was really getting depressed, because all the family members are doing Ekadashi, they're fasting, they're doing nice fasting, and they're doing nice devotional service. And Bhima was really worried, "Are Bapre, everyone is doing, I'm not able to do." And finally approached Krishna and he said that, "Oh Krishna, see, everyone is doing, I'm not able to do. Please tell me some one vrata. One day I can full fast. You tell me one vrata, you know, by which I'll be able to get the same benefit what others are getting." So at that time Krishna said, "Okay, no problem." He said, there will be one Ekadashi in your name called Bhima Ekadashi or Pandav Nirjala Ekadashi. On that particular day, you fast full, even without water. Yes. So even if, you know, you have done some mistakes in the other Ekadashis, or if you're not able to fast on some Ekadashi and you have skipped some Ekadashi. Yes. If just by fasting Nirjala on this particular day, even without water, then you'll attain the same benefit of doing Ekadashis for all the 12 months. This was the benediction that was given. And devotees in ISKCON, they follow with a lot of awe and reverence when it comes to Nirjala Ekadashi. Now 2-3 days before only it will start, "Drink water, drink water, drink water." Yes. And one day before, it's so intense, "Please drink lots of water, please drink lots of water." Unfortunately, when it comes to Bangalore weather, it's very cool. So still we can do it very nicely. So all the ones who can fast Nirjala, who can do Nirjala Ekadashi, please go ahead, do it. And chant more rounds. And for sure, at night, you'll not get sleep. So, you know, it will be very difficult to sleep because no water inside. It will be difficult. So, we just remember Krishna even at that time. And by Krishna's mercy, some 1 or 2 hours, maybe we'll get some sleep. And morning, next day morning, so Tuesday, we fast full from sunrise. That is from sunrise, maybe around 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock. Till the next day. And in Bangalore, the Paran time is 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock or something like that is there. So morning 6 o'clock, the first thing that we'll do is drink lots of water. So we can do that. Yes. So please fast if possible. Okay, there's one question. This last question and we end for the day. I don't know if it's a question. Krishna has set a logic for everything in this world, but is there a logic for his mercy for decoding? Prabhupada mentioned in one of his messages that there is no logic for Krishna's mercy. Does that mean there is a chance that anyone could get? Yes, there is a chance. A chance. But a devotee who cries in front of the Lord, for sure he'll get. But you cannot say how much you will cry, then you'll get Krishna. That logic is not applied. But anyone who cries will get mercy of Krishna some or the other time, for sure. Cry for Krishna, not cry because of other people around.